The following lecture was given by Imam W. Dean Muhammad on March 21st, 1976. It is entitled, Yaqub's History. This lecture is being brought to you by the online Yahoo group, the students of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You should visit us in the Yahoo groups today.
For information on the programs and initiatives of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, please visit on the internet www.newafricaradio.com. That's www.newafricaradio.com. For more available lectures by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, you should visit www.wdmpublications.com. That's www.wdmpublications.com. Thank you. And now, Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Is the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What do we mean by that? If we would have contended in a way that time was actually out, that way would have brought death to the entire nation of Islam. But what the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad represented as he emerged on the scene was he represented the new light to the nation of Islam and taken us off that path that we would eventually march right to our own death. You say, well, Brother Minister, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us about all black society. He was saying something to get us into a certain shape to make us to love and understand ourselves. But the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad came behind that and said, now you look at it. It did its good in its hour. It was for an hour. But when that hour is up, if you continue in that way, it would have produced death right in the nation of Islam. Right here at home, right in the mosque, color became an issue. We didn't understand what it meant in the scripture about blackness and original man, not until the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad opened that door and gave us a clear understanding of it. But all we had on our mind, we had been physicalized, and all we had was physical colors, original man, you know, blackness. We didn't see the spiritual depth of what was really being said in that lesson given to us by Master Faraz Muhammad. But the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad said, now you got to re-examine that and look at it again. Because the next thing that would happen is that you would have a light skin. First you would say that the Chinese are no good, the Indians are no good, the light skins are no good. Because they got a little devil blood in them. Okay? And that would have sown the seed of our own destruction. So we go back to that scripture. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. All praise is due to Allah. When you look into the news right now in America, I believe three or four of the largest railroad companies in America decided that they must merge in order to save themselves. Now, there may be somebody in that corporation that wishes for the way things used to be in the old days, but as a living reality, things are not like that in the days today with jets flying all across America. And they realize that the day of those railroads as independent entities is out now in order for them to survive, so they now all must come together in one big, large corporation in order for the rail industry to go on in America. There may be a man that wanted it to be the way that he thought it should be, but time has dictated that change is necessary, and when a man or a woman refuses to make a change in the hour of change, then they are sowing the seeds of their own destruction. The Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, in showing us this, he's showing us that there must be a genuine spirit of cooperation. And when little boys and little girls grow up, sometimes they may want things to be a certain way, but they realize that you can't force things the way you want them to be all the time. But you must accept the reality that you're living in, of that hour that you're living in, according to what's taking place in that hour, you must begin to reshape and redevelop your own thinking. I say that adopted is here. If you're sick and you feel that you can't get yourself a doctor's here, and this doctor is going to perform a baptism this afternoon. The old baptism was a baptism of water, but this now is a baptism of fire. The old baptism was a baptism that got you morally clean and fit. Now a baptism of fire comes because the corruption must now be burned out of the mind, so the cleanliness that God has blessed us with must maintain. It must not be maintained at the expense of someone watching over it, but it must be maintained right here in the mind. So we need a new baptism, and that baptism is coming from the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad in the form of fire. All praise be to Allah. Okay, across the country, right now, we're going to shift into another spiritual gear. We're going to go into charity. For the first time in the one-year history of the broadcast, and I believe the month of May mark 1 year. So we're about a month from a year of the broadcast being on the air. And I want to say this to our brothers and sisters across the country who are listening to my voice now, that the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, the beautiful man that he is, and his mind for the propagation of the faith, has went into the propagation fund, the Zakat, and every month he's paid for our hookup across the country. Now what we're asking every month that is under the sound of my voice, those who I read who are on the hookup by our permission, and even those who are not on, and are on by somebody else's permission. This afternoon we want to take up a collection for the Zakat across the country to show our appreciation to our leader and teacher for his allowing us to be able to sit in a mosque in San Diego, Los Angeles, Oakland, San Francisco, and listen to the sound of his voice. If we're down in Dallas, Texas, or in New York City, or St. Louis, Missouri, or Miami, Florida, or Columbia, South Carolina, this afternoon, we want you not just to say thank you out of your mouth, but go into that God has blessed you to earn of financial wealth that you have in your pocket. And when the brothers and sisters go through the aisle with the collection basket, put something in it. And put something in there that can help us to continue this good work throughout the wilderness. This is the way that we can say thank you, dear Chief Minister, for allowing us to enjoy your sweet voice every fourth Sunday throughout America. I know that the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad would never even come forward and mention it to you. He'd just keep on seeing you. But let's show him our appreciation across America this afternoon. That we appreciate being able to come into the mosque and listen to your voice. There are many of us who only attend the mosque on this Sunday. We don't come no other time but when we can hear the voice of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad. Now you have to show your appreciation also. No one has stopped you from coming in, but that house that is there, that mosque, that physical structure, if it wasn't there, you wouldn't even be able to go in that house, whether you're in Houston, Texas, or Dallas, Texas, or New York, or Boston, or Buffalo. If the house was not there, you wouldn't be able to hear the voice of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad this afternoon. So if you only come out on the fourth Sunday and only donate once every full moon, then make a donation this afternoon to help us with this national hookup. And we want to be able to give a report to our leading teacher tomorrow of number one, the largest attendance across the country, and number two, the largest Zakat donation to help defray the expense of the hookup across the nation. This is a costly operation, and maybe sometimes in a business meeting we'll just tell the Muslims across the country what this costs the Zakat fund every fourth Sunday. And when you hear the staggering amount that we are paying AT&T and the boys, you would say, wow, that's really something. And that should make you more willing to help us to defray the expense. So we would hope that when we call in the reports from this afternoon collection, that it will be a figure that will help us to cover it, and maybe even the next fourth Sunday coming up. So I hope that throughout the country that the collection is going on right now, we want to thank you for whatever you have given. If you don't have it to give, we thank you for the desire, and may Allah bless you to get it to give. I would like to say this about the national progress of the Nation of Islam in a spiritual sense. When we talk about national progress, we're talking about the sum of an individual. It starts with the work of the individual first. His work, his cooperation, and his even upright.
Anyone want a donation slip? Just hold up your hand. Hold up your hand. Hold up your hand. Hold up your hand. We want to make it very quick. We want to make it very quick.
Happening today, and we know that it starts with an individual, then let no one who says that I believe in Allah and I believe in the divine servant of God, the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, don't let yourself become selfish. Don't become idle and sit down and do nothing. And don't let vice creep in and be corrupt and destroy you. But get the
sacrifice.
An individual, then a community, then the greater society, and then the world. And we can definitely move forward. You know, when the
sister upstairs with a hand up. Hold up your hands. Hold up your hands. Four sisters upstairs with their hands up. Got one brother in the rear. What about on the balcony up here? We got one brother, two brothers on the balcony. some hold up your hand on the balcony.
To go back. I say, I'm going back to Mom tomorrow.
You got two brothers right over here.
I'm going back to Mom because I can't make it out here. Some children say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to tough it. And even though if you
give for the cause of Islam,
they would give you willingly whatever you ask for because they know that, you know, that's their child and they know your strengths and your weaknesses and they love you. So whatever they have to share with you to help you, they'll give it to you. But it also tells the parents something about the child. Some children will go forth and they will struggle hard and never come back to lean on the parents, but come back and actually offer the parents some support and what the parent is trying to do. I hope you understand. And I hope that the many moms throughout the country are listening to that as we go forward to help our leading teachers. Our leading teachers are about ready to come out. I wanna know, are we tuned up now? I will call Tanvir. Tanvir. Tanvir.
Allahu Akbar.
All praises due to Allah.
All praises due to Allah.
So get yourself ready. Open up. And don't forget those questions that you have. Push it right in the front of your mind. We have a man who, as he speaks this afternoon, will be answering the questions that are right in the front of your mind. So we thank Allah for him, and I pray to Allah that each and every one of you will go away rewarded. I want to say to our visitors, this will be an experience of your lifetime. Regardless of what you do tomorrow, you won't forget this afternoon. I don't care how you sort out your mind, if you don't believe, if you're an atheist, a Christian, a Jew, whatever you may be, you will remember this afternoon. You won't be able to push it into some dark corner of your mind and forget all about it, not this experience. It won't be like visiting the local Baptist church. Oh, no. This will be an experience of a lifetime when you hear what will come out of his mouth. I want to say, before we bring on our leading teacher, he's coming right out. There's a very beautiful scripture in the Holy Quran that talks to us about charity. As they're taking this collection up throughout the country, I'd like to read it to you. The mosque of Allah shall be, it's in the Holy Quran 9 and 18. The mosque of Allah shall be visited and maintained by such as believe in Allah in the last day. Establish regular prayer and practice regular charity. And fear none but Allah. It is those who are expected to have true guidance. This is Holy Quran 9 and 18. It says, so woe to the worshipper who are neglectful of their prayers, those who want but to be seen of men, but refuse to supply even the neighborly deed. That's the 107th chapter of the Holy Quran called the neighborly deed. The Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad taught us very beautifully yesterday on respect for authority. It was loaded. It was full of seeds and the light was there, respect for authority. If we are going to keep society alive, we must show respect for authority. Those are the things that we must hold on, and they have been the keys to our success to hold our society together. And he was really into it. You know, sometimes people want to argue without thinking. And sometimes you set up a defense mechanism when you don't have to even set it up. You should listen because you might learn something. There's a difference between thinking and arguing. Any fool can come up with an argument, you know. But sometimes you got to think about what you hear. Go over it in your mind. See the truth that's in it and how it will benefit you as an individual instead of thinking of how you're going to argue with what you hear or what is said. Sometimes we come with that because there are certain things out there in the world that has preconditioned our mind. So we come up, we come in, and we're on the defensive. We think that everything that we hear, we got to argue against it or look for what's wrong in it. How about looking for what's good in it first? And then that will help you to go on to gain something from what is said. I would like to say from the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, and his talking to us yesterday, he keeps us reaching up for knowledge. And that's the way that you should be. Never feel that you have enough. Never feel that no one else can teach you anything, that you've learned all that there is to learn, or that your PhD or your degree is enough for you. That should suffice you, and no one else can teach you anything. Whenever you reach that level, you're already finished. You're like that stagnated water. Because you are stagnated. And you know how stagnated water is? It collects garbage and filth because there's no movement. As a matter of fact, stagnated water can collect so much garbage and filth that you can set it afire. That's what they mean in the scripture about a lake being set on fire. And if you reach that point that you've stagnated and you feel that nobody can teach you, then you listen this afternoon and the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad will come and set your water right on fire. All praise is due to Allah. reaching up for knowledge because it's a time for a new set of ideas to take root in your mind. And he is the man that can give you those new set of ideas, who can plant them firmly in your brain. And we say new set, but they are really ideas that were from the root, as he taught us very beautifully about the continuation of prophets and divine men, right from Adam on through Jesus, Muhammad, 1400 years ago, and to this very hour, the man that will be standing in front of you in a few minutes. See, the men who study scripture and study religious movements in the world, as the chief minister taught us, some of them saw the direction of the religious movement, knowing that there was a natural appeal to man and the inner workings of man towards that spiritual or religious direction, then those enemies of that direction got into that direction. And when they got into it, they didn't need it head on to challenge it, to try to stop it, but they got in with it and tried to control it, to take it in the direction that they would desire to go, and to corrupt the religious idea, religious concept, and spiritual teaching on the planet in order that they would have a corrupt man that would be easy for them to control. So now the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad comes and he snatches the cover off all of that. And he shows man the direction that God desires for man to go in, but man now must be strong enough, not because there's group feeling, but because of his own development of his own mind. The knowledge that his mind is being fed from a divine source should be enable man to stand on a right path, not that no one forced him, because knowledge now, divine knowledge, has dictated that this is the path that man should travel on in accord with the will and the desire of God to get the maximum out of man himself. So we are ready to hear from the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, the Chief Minister of the Nation of Islam, who represents to us strong leadership, divine leadership. No people go for weak leadership. Here he is. Papir. 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 Papir.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Forever.
Ameen. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, I greet you in the greetings of all the prophets, from Abraham to Muhammad the last. As-salamu alaykum. It's a very beautiful day today. As we promised, we want to talk on the history of Yaqub, part two. Yaqub is a strange name in America, you know. But in the East, Yaqub is no strange name. If you go to the Semitic, Arabic, Jew, and Arabic-speaking lands and say Yaqub, they all understand what you're talking about. Yaqub means Jacob. And Jacob is a man in the Bible that did a lot of deceitful things. He was a great trickster. He had many tricks. And his mother got it started. According to the Bible, she told him how to trick his own brother out of his birthright, out of his inheritance that he was to receive from his father, Isaac. I want to read from Genesis 35, chapter 35, verse 4. This is on Jacob. It says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. Now this is the story of Jacob while he was traveling with his community, his father, and all their earrings which were in their ears. Now, earrings here
strange gods and earrings. Strange gods, don't think of material or physical objects. Like what you see in the world today, the statue of Buddha and other statues. Don't think it's talking about that. It's talking about something more meaningful than that. It's talking about those things that people really worship, that are strange gods, powers and forces, corruption, lies, and schemes that hide divine truth. So Jacob here is the leader of these people, and he received that strange god to protect them from others who would detect these gods and make war against them, perhaps, or drive them out. So they hid the strange god. And they also gave the earrings. Earrings here, the ear, you hear through the ear. Earring here means the knowledge. The knowledge that gives you understanding, that enables you to hear the truth. Or we can say truth for the ear. Truth for the ear is not always truth for the mind. You understand that? If my truth is above your mind, then it will pass your ear, right? But if my truth is on the level of your understanding, then it will enter your ear. Your ear will hear exactly what I'm talking about. So earrings here is symbolic of that plain, simple truth that they had that would expose their schemes if they let that truth be seen in the society. So they had to hide that truth. So he took the earrings too. Ring is symbolic of, ring means circle. You see, it's a circle. The ring is a circle. And circle in religion refers to the secret order of religion, the inner order of the religion. We read about Ezekiel's wheel going up, and we think that it really, some crazy writer even wrote that Ezekiel's wheel is some spaceship or something, you see. But wheel is a common word in religion, and it only means the community of people who share one knowledge, and that knowledge is complete. Right now, when the Jews sit, some of them, they sit and they form a circle. That's the wheel. Right now, some Muslims sit, and when they sit, they form a circle, and they meditate, they read, they study, and they meditate. That's the wheel, that's the circle, that's the wheel. It's also a kind of identifying word to identify the whole society of the religious people. So here we have earrings here, and it indicates that the knowledge that they were able to carry or bear in by their ears was their religious knowledge or secret knowledge. So the Jacob, he didn't want this knowledge exposed to the community. He hid that knowledge, and he hid those things that they worship, those false, strange things that they worship. We are talking about the people that have come to be known as Jews. In their early history, they were called Jacob, or Jacobite. And it was these people who came into the so-called biblical religion and led the world until now in religion. Their history, in its beginning, is a history of theft, deceit, lies, troublemaking, corrupting things that were natural, taking them out of their natural state and form. This is their history, and you can read it for yourself in the Genesis under the name Jacob. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. Now, he hid them under an oak. You who have been following our teachings here recently, you know that we have identified tree as people. a community of people. So the oak here stands for, an oak tree is a strong tree. You have seen oak trees, you know oak trees are big, strong trees. So he hid it under a big, strong tree. What does this represent? A big, strong people. A big, strong nation. He hid his strange God and his religious secret teaching in a strong nation. But he hid it under the tree where the nation wouldn't be able to see it. Now this is referring to the we of the Jacobites. When they come into a land, into a new land, they don't let themselves be seen. They hide themselves. They show only that part of themselves that they want the world to see. But they hide their secrets. They hide their plans so that they will survive. As you know, the Jew, the Jacobite people, I prefer to use the word Jacob and Jacobite because all Jews don't fall under this description. The Jacobite people, they are described in the Bible as a people without a home. They roam from place to place. They had a settlement, a country in Jerusalem, so the Bible says, for a while that was established by, well, first by Joshua, who brought them into the land, and then they had a king and a prophet and David. But they finally lost it, and they began to roam again from one land to another land. They were persecuted, so the book says. They were made slaves in Egypt, and they were persecuted in Babylon and in other places. And they were hoping that one day they would have a land of their own, hoping that God would soon fulfill the promise and give them a land of their own, Canaan land, as the teaching or as the Bible goes. But we are not talking about a people who are following the true God and trying to establish themselves as a righteous people in the land to be an example for other people. We are talking about people who had a scheme, a plan, to do things their own way and capture the world by their own power and put the world in their own hands. That's what we are talking about. A people with a plan like that. And these people, once they got the world into their hands, then they were going to present their price for the world to bow down to. In the history of Yaqub, as it was given to us by the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, peace be on him, this Jacob, our Jacobite people, are called Yaqub. The Arabic name, our Quranic name, is given. This Yaqub history, as we receive it, is a history of the birth, of the making and development, birth and development of sin, evil. It is a history that is given in allegorical language. The Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad used to tell us, never think that you understand or know it just having read it. He said, but look deep into it. Study it. Go deep into the meaning. He says there's more to it than what meets the eye. So he has taught us that and encouraged us to study deep and try to get understanding out of the lesson. Today we have that understanding. And now our praise due to Allah, that understanding is truly bringing us into a new life, new world, and a new sense of happiness, peace, or paradise. Greek chapter. One is called the Satan, the chief devil, and the other one is just called devil. Some of us make the mistake of seeing the two as one and the same. We think that Satan and the devil are the same thing. Satan and the devil are two different mentalities. Satan mentality is one that actually think it works for God. Whereas the devil knows he's wicked, knows he's no good. Read the scripture and you'll find that when Jesus, and remember that even the Genesis is also allegorical. Everything that meets your eye is not the actual plain truth. You have to have understanding. When Jesus was driving out devils, those devils always admitted their weaknesses, their wickedness, their evil. They didn't pretend to be something other than devils. When they were discovered, they just fled. Is that right? But read the history of Satan. Satan is a contender. He tries to defend himself. Because Satan actually thinks that he's serving God. Satan thinks that he's the only mentality or the only mind form that really is able to run this world. He has no respect for the true man or the true woman. He thinks that they're too frail, too inferior to manage their affairs. That their affairs have to be managed by him. This is Satan. Not a spirit, not a spook, but a mind, a mentality that rules in certain people of the world and has ruled for thousands of years. But now that rule is broken. That rule is coming to an end. All praise due to Allah. So Satan, according to the scripture, we talk about Yaqub's history. Yaqub's history is the history of the devil. From Satan till his very end. When we read the scripture, we see the devil in his original position as chief angel. He was the leader or the head or the chief among the angels. He rebelled and took on a corrupt or evil nature. That was already in him, but he had not been put under pressure. So that nature hadn't come out. But as soon as he was put under pressure, that nature that was in him came out. And all of a sudden, the shiny angel became Satan, the enemy of man or humanity. Satan literally means enemy of man or humanity. Man here means man as God chose to make man or create man. There are many human beings who think themselves to be men and women. But there are few human beings who meet that description that God intended for us, men and women. God intended that we have a mind that is in accord with truth and righteousness and justice and peace and mercy or charity. He didn't intend that we have selfish minds, envious mind, corrupt mind, deceitful mind, materialistic mind. He didn't intend that we have this kind of mind. So these children, according to scripture, are not called the children of God. They are not the human being or the mind that God wanted. They are the children of the world and the children of the devil, according to scripture. So what do we have when we look at this history of Yaakov? We have the history of a master deceiver. One who thought that he was so wise that he could take the world in his hand and shape it in any shape that he wanted it to come into and bring it step by step to where he wanted to come and then finally present himself, reveal his plan to the world. So you see now how I brought you step by step. See how I brought you from Eden to America. So he'll reveal his plan from Eden to America and show you how that he was the one that brought you from Eden to America. He will show you that he is the one that has the power and the knowledge to bring you from Eden to America. That your life has really been in his hand. Your father has really been his, or he. And when he showed you that, the world would have to admit it, say yes, well, we have to confess, this is the Christ. He wouldn't say, I'm Satan. He would say, I'm the Christ. And he had it planned so well until Muhammad came along and messed up his plan. He had it planned so well. All praise due to Allah. He made the Europeans Christians, but their life was nothing like the life of Christ. They turned out to be some of the most wicked people. In fact, there's no people in the history of humanity that turned out to be as cruel, as inhuman, as wicked, and as sinful and corrupt as the European power that rose up in the name, or under the name Christianity. It was Jacob. Yaakov, he was the one who gave birth to this new Caucasian or Gentile mentality. Before Jacob got a hold to the Gentile was only a jinn. And a jinn means one whose nature is given to his fleshly passion. One who can't control his flesh appetite. When we study the history of the Europeans before Christianity came and dominated them, they were a jinn-like people. They were a people given to lust and bloodshedding. But they weren't a people that was wicked and wise like a devil or like Satan. We found among them human beings and devils. We found even in their government, human government and devil government. That was before they came under Christianity. But when the Europe came under Christianity, we saw in that government the devil. I'm giving you the truth. You can accept it or reject it. Don't think I'm here to beg you to believe what I say. Don't think you're going to hurt my feelings if you don't believe it. My feelings have already been hurt. The worst hurt is to see you in your ignorance. So it was these people, the Jacobites, that took Jesus as they took Abraham. Took Jesus and they took Moses and formed the Jesus into the shape that they wanted the Jesus to be in to serve them as a tool to help bring about their work, to help them cut the world out as they had this head plan to cut it out. So in the lessons we are told that they used the name Jesus, the name of a righteous prophet, to shield or hide their dirty religion, which is called Christianity. Now I know this shocks many good Christians, because you have only been able to see the sweetness. You've only been able to taste the candy of Christianity. You don't see that bitter poison that's killing your spirit, killing your human nature, making you an animal and a wicked-minded person. You can't see that. You only see the sweetness. You only see the beauty. You only see the candy. And that's what you eat. That's what you taste. And you say Christianity is sweet. It is sweet. Too sweet. Got the West with sugar diabetes. A terminal disease. And the Jacobite, he's laughing. Well, no, his head is hung, he's sad now. You've seen the Christ on the scene again. Not Christ in the flesh. The book doesn't say that Christ will come in the flesh. The book says if they should tell you that he's in the desert, don't go there looking for it. They should tell you that he's in the secret chambers. Meaning in the synagogue, in the church. Don't go there looking for him. Say that as the light shineth out of the east, even unto the west, that is how the coming of Christ will be. That's what the book says. So we are not to look for God in any body, any human flesh body. We are not to look for Christ in any human flesh body. Walking out in the desert of Jerusalem somewhere, or Arabia, we're not to look for him like that. We're not to look for him as the Pope sitting in the secret chambers in Rome, in the Vatican. We're to look for him in the manifestation of light. Light that is knowledge. Knowledge to light up the dark corners of your mind and make your deeds shine again. You see? Jacob. I want you to have patience with me today. We want to go now and trace the steps of the scheme from Genesis to Revelation. I hope we can do this very quick. And I think we can. Because there is one prophet called Noah that when we look at him and study what is said about him, we can see the whole scheme from beginning to end. The scheme is so complete in him that the book says that as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. If you can see the scheme that is under the name Noah, then you will be able to see the plan that undo that scheme that comes with the Son of Man or the new Christ, the second coming of the Christ. So let's go now to the story of Noah and look at a few things and see if you can strain your mind and follow me. You know, a screw or a piece in a machinery that has become rusted. If you want to turn it, you're going to have to put some oil on it or even put some real muscle to it. Well, see, the minds of this world, using